are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February 20th, and more with Mason today. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Detroit city, covering the NBA and the Pistons and the Red Wings and the Toledo Walleye and the Michigan State basketball team and the Michigan football team and Eberlin Drive's basketball crew out in Fraser and whatever else you can think of. I'll write about that for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Also a Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Just stretching me thin out there, and I love it. Just it's kind of a sports fan's in this area's dream, what I've been doing for the past few months for the Detroit News. Appreciate all those guys in case they're listening, and thanks for all the opportunities. But today, speaking of opportunities, we're going to talk about the schedule ahead for the Pistons, who have some opportunities themselves coming up here in the second half, but some pitfalls as well. We'll break it down a little bit, but mostly today, part two of our interview with Mason, a little bit longer on this segment here, the Pistons public address announcer since 2001, Detroit radio host, legend, icon. You know Mason from WJLB back in the day and 105.9 The Kiss right now as I tape this on Tuesday afternoon, 12 to 3. That's what's nice about the All-Star break is I can just tape these podcasts during the day and not have to stay up late, and I'm handling business with that right now. So pretty fun. Pretty good times for me. Maybe let's do a longer All-Star break. Who knows? But no, we're kidding. We're jonesing for more hoops. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out there. And the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Check out the Pistons subreddit. Leave a question there. We're going to do a mailbag through the Pistons subreddit. And we'll start that on Thursday's podcast. It'll probably spill into Friday as well, because you know how I love my two-parters, taking care of that content, put it in the bag, all that good stuff. But the Pistons returning to action on Friday night at Atlanta. It will happen someday. Nice little All-Star break. The NBA extended it, just like all the other leagues have. So good for them, good for us, good for everyone. Get basketball off our minds for a couple days. Maybe, you know, talk to our families and stuff like that we put off and hesitate to do otherwise. But like I said, Friday night in Atlanta, and then a back-to-back on Saturday night with the Miami Heat in a huge game. You guessed it, so huge, the new biggest game of the season. We do that every couple weeks here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, even more than that recently. But, back-to-backs, obviously not a good thing schedule-wise, but coming right after the All-Star break, you'd think guys would be ready, especially given the magnitude of the Miami game. And really, you know, you don't want to jump to conclusions, especially with this Pistons team, but Friday night in Atlanta, they really handled business earlier this season at the very beginning of the year in Atlanta, and maybe they'll be motivated to do the same there. We will see, and we'll break that down a little bit later in the week, too. But after that, the Pistons, the weekend back-to-back, Pistons will be home for one against the Indiana Pacers and then on Monday, and then Wednesday at San Antonio, and then Saturday, a 5 p.m. start in Cleveland before a back-to-back second day of that series on Sunday at home against the Toronto Raptors. So really kind of all over the place, lots of travel after the All-Star break, and a couple of those back-to-backs after the All-Star break gate too, so we'll see how that goes. 26 games left on the schedule for the Pistons, who have played 56 so far, I guess. And so 15 road games left and 11 at home. Of course, we know that's bad news for any team, particularly the Pistons, who are 9-17 on the road this season. Not a tough team, not a good road team. We know that they kind of crumble in other teams' buildings, and we'll see if that trend changes. On the other hand, the good news, the Pistons will play 14 teams with a losing record and 12 teams with a winning record as we sit here today with the podcast at the All-Star break. Now, we know that that's a little deceiving, too, because you're lumping in a team that's one game over 500 with a team like the Nuggets and Warriors, who are well above 500. So there's so many teams in the middle that it kind of misleads those margins we talked about. So if we break out those teams that are hovering around 500 from that list, kind of a few games within either way, mediocre teams, the middle, which is where the Pistons reside, as we know. So I'll throw like Miami, Orlando, Charlotte into that mix, and maybe Minnesota and LA, the Lakers out west, and Brooklyn from the east as well, as teams either side. So most of those teams coming off of the losing record ledger than more so than the winning record ledger. So, you know, those teams that you could see the Pistons easily beating or easily losing to, toss-up games in a sense. If you take that out, you've got 9 games against bad teams that the Pistons should beat, but then 11 games against good teams that they'll probably be, you know, heavy underdogs in, or at least, you know, regular-sized underdogs. I don't know what kind of size you like your underdogs. But so 6 games in the middle that they could determine the season. And, of course, we know the Pistons, to their credit, have pulled off some of the upsets this year, talking about the wins against Golden State and Denver and Philadelphia and Boston and, you know, a few of those sprinkled in Toronto as well. Another schedule anomaly that we're looking at the rest of the way, and we've talked about this a little bit, is the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons still have 3 games left with them, including the game this Monday at home, but then a home-and-home with them on April 1st and 3rd, right at the end of the season. That could be a nice resting time for them if they're secure in that 5 seed the rest of the way, if it kind of goes how we figure, with Philadelphia and Boston maybe surging ahead for those 3rd and 4 seeds, getting home court in the playoffs. And if Indiana falls off without Victor Oladipo a little bit, then maybe they become solid in that 5 seed and have really not much to play for in the final weeks. But again, that's kind of writing off the Pacers like we always do, probably mostly incorrectly here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that could be a good thing with the Pacers possibly stretching. Another note that stands out, that a nice final 3-game stretch of the season for the Pistons could be, you know, home for Charlotte in what might be essentially the last playoff spot in the final week of the season, and then home for Memphis in what should be a layup if it's must win. We're knocking on wood as we say that, of course. And then at Madison Square Garden for the season finale, second half of a back-to-back, for what could be the final Knicks game without Kevin Durant, as heavily rumored and in my mind probably headed to New York there. So some food for thought with the schedule as we look ahead. But up next, we're going to talk to Mason, part 2 of our interview with the Pistons public address announcer. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Best way to get to and fro where you get to and fro from throughout your drive and throughout your day. We also have an important favor to ask you. We'd like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. Not possible, I know. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. By participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit LockedOnPodcast.com/survey to participate. That's LockedOnPodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
Here with Mason, we're actually doing this interview here in the studio at 105.9 KISS FM. Thanks for having us here, Mason. But you've seen all sorts of the championship in 2004, obviously stands out. But is there some iconic moments, memorable moments, or more funny moments that stand out when people ask for the stories of courtside at Palace and Little
Caesar? I'll give you one that was like a movie. Well, I guess both of these were like a movie. This beautiful woman, dripping.
You know, Ken Calvert had a story, and when it started with a beautiful woman, I don't know what it is about you guys.
It's always
something about the beautiful woman.
Man, it was a beautiful woman. She comes out of the stands. This is during halftime at the Palace. And she's dripping in diamonds and gold. And she touches me on the shoulder and says, "Young man, when will the real P announcer be back?" And I said, "He'll be back in 3 weeks." And what I was really saying, I'm going to give myself 3 weeks to really get this down. So that was when she said, "Fine," and she walked away. Another story, a more chilling kind of movie thing. Uh-huh. It was late March, early April. Joe Dumars says to me, coming into the Palace, mm-hmm. He had just gotten out of his vehicle. And he called me over. He says, "I know you do radio, but what do you do in the summer?" And I go, "I just do the radio." Mm-hmm. He says, "Don't take a summer job. Don't do anything or plan anything for the summer." Okay. He knew that they were winning that championship, mm-hmm. or at least going to be in there. Mm-hmm. He knew it. They knew it. Mm-hmm. They would talk about it. All those players, Sheed and Chauncey, they had a very quiet demeanor about what they knew they had. Mm-hmm. And so that was fascinating to watch it develop. Mm-hmm. And that Rasheed Wallace, oh my gosh, he once had an open layup and called the player physically and vocally. He says, "What are you doing? Get over here!" It was the funniest thing, man. So those are a couple of the moments, I guess.
So your summer was booked up in 2004, and Sheed obviously provides some stories for everyone, even us watching at home. Ball don't lie, all that good stuff too.
Yeah, he went to the Cleveland announcer and said, "Hey, you can't do that. That's Maceo's." He would never call me Mason. Maceo, like James Brown's horn player. He go, "That's Maceo's."
Maceo. Now, Mason, and now growing up, I'm in my 30s. Another one of the shows that we knew was Martin growing up. And I know that it's loosely kind of, they did some research about you and based the show. What's the real story?
They came from California and followed me around for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I lived in an area. I didn't even have a car when they were doing this. Mm-hmm. So they followed me around. They followed me day on the show, and they followed me off. Mm-hmm. So I would always go to this Chinese restaurant. I had little people then. Mm-hmm. And it was the apartment that is used is where the Chinese restaurant was across the street. Mm-hmm. And I would always try to show them the radio station WGPR, which mm-hmm. I had never been in, didn't work at the time. But they kept asking me about a radio station. Was there anything in this area? And I was like, yeah. So, but we never got in, but that apartment building was right next door. Mm-hmm. So they used that apartment building. Then this attorney named Ray, I can't think of Ray's last name. And it's mm-hmm. a tall attorney named Ray. He's about 6'4", 6'5", bald, had glasses, a lot of energy. I met him in a bar. Mm-hmm. And so he'd always, and he'd talk all funny. So they created the character Tommy, mm-hmm. after seeing our exchange. The characters I did on the radio, they flipped them around a little bit and put them on the TV show. So at the time, especially for black radio, my GM was not into that. Mm-hmm. They were telling her that they wanted me to be part of the first episode and that kind of thing, and I'd have to be gone about 2 or 3 weeks. And then she was like, no, that's not going to happen. Because mm-hmm. it wasn't on a major network at the time.
Yeah.
So she didn't know what the show could do. So that locked me out. Mm-hmm. So the best they could do is anytime you watch episode one, you'll hear Martin saying, the caller will call in and go, "Mason, Mason." And Martin goes, "No, Mason's not here. Mason's gone. He's not here anymore." So, yeah, that it was based around my radio. And why and how, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, it's just another iconic moment around your career here. But what about the more mundane? Obviously, you're here on the radio from 12 to 3. You got home games at 7 o'clock or so downtown. What's the day in the life like? What are some things, some routines you need to do? I see you at the games. You're catching the game notes before, doing some research. What are some things you need to do on game day to be ready?
Initially, I was doing morning radio. Then I would go home and sleep. Mm-hmm. So that my voice would rest, mm-hmm. and then go to the games. But I was driving to the Palace. Now the radio station's maybe 2.5 miles from the arena. I need to keep myself calm so my voice, and I'm doing a lot because I'm still doing the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to keep my voice intact, but I need to get there a good hour and a half, if not earlier, to just be in the atmosphere and just relax into the atmosphere and just soak that up and let my day go away from me, and then get something to eat, study the game notes, start looking at the hard pronounced names, mm-hmm. and start trying to find somebody, normally the TV or radio people from the visiting team, is better than going to the PR guy, because they do it all the time, mm-hmm. and they know how to walk me through it phonetically. So the fun part is me writing it down my way. Now, I did the NBA All-Star game, mm-hmm. and I tried to explain to the people, you can't look at my paper. I got to write it, and it's all wrong. It's spelled completely wrong. There's capital letters where it shouldn't be. In the middle of the word, I may throw a capital, but that's my mind working for emphasis. Mm-hmm. So they take my papers at the All-Star game and type them. And I didn't know jack mm-hmm. about what was on that paper. I'm like, why did you? And they took my scratch papers away. So I need to sit around and do that and just soak up the atmosphere and then try to practice those names.
Yeah, a lot of different names. And we saw the Pistons acquired Svi Mykhailiuk last week. It's got to be, for me on the podcast, I had to kind of take some time, go on YouTube. How do they say this name?
Yeah.
It's obviously a strangely spelled name. Is there any of the past that stand out to you that you're just like, man, this, maybe it was a European name?
I'll tell you a great story. I was new in the league. And when I tell you I was new, listen, I didn't know anything about NBA basketball. I had been to one game at the Palace before I started working there. And all I knew is what I saw on TV and what I thought I heard. But anyway, this was a Toronto game, and it was during the time they used all foreigners. They may have had two Americans, maybe three. Mm-hmm. And it was a preseason game, so they had a whole bunch. And no one at that time, I was didn't know you could use a pronunciation guide. Mm-hmm. I was scared to ask, and I just tried to – I thought I could – fumble through it. It was so bad, they wrote a half-page article about me messing up those steps in Toronto. And I used to keep the article because I was kind of proud of it, that they would even take the time to do that. It was a preseason game, but yeah.
Should have been part of the home court advantage.
Yeah, right.
The Pistons. Have you come in? Have you better be a Piston,
man,
or else maybe we won't get your name right.
That's right. That's right. But that's one I'll remember.
Now, here with Mason at the 105.9 studios, anything else that stands out about the radio career in Detroit? I mean, we got the moving downtown to Little Caesars Arena last year. The crowds haven't been as good. The team's been not as good, obviously, as the Sheet era that we talked about a little while ago. Do you think it's kind of getting somewhere, that it's a little bit of momentum building, a little bit of a winning streak as we talk right now?
It is. There is a bit of momentum building. All credited to Blake Griffin. How can you play with a guy like that, mm-hmm. who on every single play is designed? The physicality is not happenstance. I mean, he's doing some fakes and stuff in there, and he's pounding hard. I mean, every play, he's a master of the game. Within the game, mm-hmm. you can't play with him and not get infected with that. And I think some of the Pistons are beginning to pick it up. And last night, Andre Drummond played tougher than he's played maybe in his career. That was the toughest I had ever seen Andre Drummond play. Mm-hmm. And you know, people are always asking, you know, he could be tough. But last night... Mm-hmm. That's what they were asking. It's in them, and I think it's attributed to Blake Griffin. I could be wrong. That's just my guess. Mm-hmm. But you just can't play with Blake Griffin. This is why I know people say, you didn't need Blake Griffin. Yeah, that's true. You're going to mess. They did. Mm-hmm. They needed him. Mm-hmm. They needed him. Maybe management needed him for the seats, but that team needed to see what a star does day in, day out, night after night, and in the summer, and show them how you get through a season.
Mm-hmm. 32 points and 17 rebounds for Andre Drummond last night. And like you said, kind of taking a little cue from Blake Griffin for what he's done to add to the Pistons roster that they already had. But adding to Pistons games, Mason, thanks for all the, well, first of all, the radio memories from when I was a kid growing up. You got me out of bed a few times. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, JLB was fun.
I was on, I haven't told you this, but I was on the show. I called in one time, JLB for Freak of the Week, nominated one of my friends on a Friday. So this is a big reuniting for me and you to finally do some podcast
there
radio
go,
magic
Matt.
Once again.
There you go, man. Well, it was fun. And it's, you know, when I think about being the PA announcer for the Pistons, it's done a lot for me. I've been, I was also selected. I'm the only NBA announcer that's an All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Vegas, right?
Yeah, in Vegas. And then I'm the only NBA announcer that is an international All-Star because mm-hmm. I went to Turkey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it has taken me to Turkey, to London, and other places. I was in a bar in New York. And when I sat down, the bartender kept saying, I know who you are. And it's just the funniest things that it has brought me. So it has been special to my life
to be a part of the Detroit Piston organization?
Well, as I told you off mic, I've been moving around the country, and everyone around the country who's a sports fan knows Detroit basketball. So obviously you've made your mark around the country. But thanks for your time, Mason. And we'll be looking for your calls for hopefully a playoff season this year.
Yeah, we'll get one in, man. We're going to get one in for sure this year. Detroit basketball!
Shouts once again to Mason for having us in the 105.9 KISS FM studios. Check him out on the radio weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Legendary voice in the city of Detroit. And the guy that I listen to most every morning as a teenager, but before I got in the Ford Tempo and drove to Kimball High School or had my mom drive me to Churchill basketball practice in junior high for those 6 a.m. practices that we hated. But at least we got to listen to some smooth jams, some R&B. That was my stuff. Back in the day, of course, rap mixed in there too. But just a little quick bio. I know you were interested in what my listening habits were as a young, impressionable teenager on the mean streets of Royal Oak, Michigan. But when you get in your car, in case you are driving to Churchill, well, I guess you wouldn't do that anymore because it's no longer a school. No longer a school at Kimball either, by the way. I closed those places down. But when you do get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons. That will get the most recent episode up there for you as you get yourself to where you need to get to go. And I also want your opinion on everything Pistons. Google Voice Line, 810-666-1546. Program that into your phone. Again, that's 810-666-1546, the show line here. And the Pistons mailbag on Reddit, check that out on the Pistons subreddit. You can find it. Scroll down a little bit. I started a discussion there. Already some great questions that I'm looking forward to talking out with you guys on Thursday and Friday as we prepare for more Pistons basketball. Friday night in Atlanta, a big weekend for the Pistons and a big stretch run here as they try to get to the playoffs. And we start talking draft. We start talking maybe some summer trades and getting some more guests that I'm excited about here for the stretch run of the season. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.